When I was an Army chaplain, my soldiers asked me all kinds of questions about God, life, relationships, the Bible, and I answered them as best I could. They also called me Padre. Welcome to the Dear Padre podcast. I'm glad you're here on this Sunday morning that I'm recording. Also, Mother's Day, a day full of joy and sadness and all the other things that go with it. I don't think there's another holiday like Mother's Day that gets kind of canceled or you can opt out. Etsy famously had a button you could push to opt out of Mother's Day sales and promotions and content and crafts and other objects relating to Mother's Day, like mugs and things you buy for your mom. I don't know of any other holiday that does that. So there's obviously a lot of strong emotions around this day, and I hope you can process that in a safe way, and I hope you can be able to get through it if it's a struggle, or I hope that you have some joy, a lot of joy, if you are enjoying the day, especially if you're a mother here today. A reading from the Gospel of John 17. Jesus prayed for his disciples, saying, "I have made your name known to those whom you gave from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they may be sanctified in truth. To those, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." I had copied a short Mother's Day prayer and put it next to the text in my on my iPad screen, and so I started to read the prayer for Mother's Day. It's going to be a confusing day. Hope you know that confusion is the complex nature of our relationships. And if you ever have confusion about something, it's usually because it's a pretty big deal, and there probably isn't really an easy answer. I think that's a really good way to look at the world of complexity, where the only simple answer ever is love. And it's always kind of hard to know what that is in the situation, how to show love, be love, experience love. But ultimately, that is what we're going for, even though we don't always know how to do that. I've always thought that John's gospel is best read in a stoner voice. And you can experiment with that on your own if you like. And enjoy. I'm sure that'll be a fun experience, especially if you have some good friends that have that voice for whatever reason. Doesn't have to be a drug-induced voice, of course, but maybe it's just a California voice, a voice that evokes the joys and meaning of life. I think Californians, for me, have always had a little better sense of those deeper joys in life that you can experience in this lifetime. It's an aspirational place, California. And I speak as an immigrant or as a just a tourist there. I've only ever visited. I've never been there very long, for more than a week, I don't think, or a couple weeks at the most. But every time I go there, I feel that sort of possibility and longing and joy that I've never found anywhere else in the world. And so maybe that voice is a good one for John's gospel, because it's reflective and it's hopeful and it's possible. So God loves Californians. I really believe that. He even, in John 3:16, when he says, God so loved the world, I've always felt that that was sort of the California nod there. That Californians so love things. They so enjoyed it. And that Valley Girl speech like became a, I just did like, became a national phenomenon in English from California. And there's many other expressions like that that we have inherited from our neighbors to the west. But here Jesus is praying for you. Did you ever walk in on someone praying for you? It's kind of a weird experience. What would he be praying for you if you walked into the throne room of heaven and you heard your name and you like went in the door and said, Oh, you're praying for me. I'll just sit back here in the back and listen. Jesus is praying for you, for me, right here in this text. Kind of neat to explore what are the things he prays for. I've kind of boiled it down to three things. There's probably more here. Please don't revoke my theology degree for missing a few of them. But I'm going to highlight three from this text. It's a confusing text to read. It kind of goes back and forth and around, so it's kind of hard to follow what the point is. But I think we can boil down to three things that Jesus is praying for you about, that Jesus wants for you, and can't just wave a magic wand to get in you. This is stuff that has to come from your relationship with him and your relationship with others and relationships with the world and with even the evil one. All of this will come through that journey and that struggle. It is not something that God can just zap into us, download into our DNA or software. All of this must be cultivated through that relationship. And he's going to show us how to do that. The first thing that Jesus prays for you is for your protection. He prays for your protection. Protect them in your name that you have been given me, so that we may be one as you are one. The divine name is the protection of the Christian. There is an ancient story of the first boy born in the world. Adam and Eve have a son, and they name him Cain. And Cain grows up with his brother Abel, his younger brother, and they are to make sacrifices to God. And they make two sacrifices, one of vegetables and one of a goat or an animal. And God accepts the sacrifice of Abel, the animal sacrifice, but not the vegetable sacrifice of Cain. There's a lot of mystery there of why that happens. Doesn't really say why, but there is a salvation history thing being established there. And Cain gets so angry at his brother that he strikes him and he dies. And this is the first family of the world. This is the first man to be born in the world. And so Cain is judged by God. He is punished, and his punish is not instant death. It is exile, to wander. And he is fearful. If people know that I've murdered my brother, they will kill me outright. Now, where all these other people are coming from, that's another story. But Cain is given a mark on him, a mark of protection, so that no one will kill him when they see him. And people have puzzled over what this mark is and has been. And the mark of Cain, I believe, and I think this is probably the most likely answer, although there may be others, I'm not ruling those out, is it is the name of God. That the name of God is marked on Cain so that you will not deface the name of God, even if you want to deface Cain, the murderer. What a beautiful symbol of mercy and love that God has given the first murderer, the first man to be born on the earth, that he will be protected even though he doesn't deserve it. Here we see the grace of God, the love of God, shining through the dark history of humanity. And there is the name of God on Cain's forehead, so that no one can touch him. And the name of God is on you. That is how God protects us. The name of God is on you. If someone comes for you, they are coming for God. And they ought to know that. And this is how we are protected in this world. Doesn't mean that nothing bad happens. This is the mystery of grace. This is the mystery of God's work in the world. Why do some bad things happen to us and others don't? And if you try to explore it or come up with some reason, you'll always be left with some really terrible conclusions. But the ultimate truth is that God does protect us. God has protected us. And as we look back on our lives and we think of the ways God has protected us by his mark on us, by his name on us, I think we can be thankful for that. And the protection of God here that Jesus prays for is that you will be one. You'll be protected so that you'll be one as we are one. The Holy Trinity of God is a circle of love and protection. There is no love without protection. There is no protection without love. There is this circle of the Trinity that existed before time and space that was the perfect image of love, the perfect image of human community and connectedness that is safe. It is safe. If it's not safe, it's not love. If it's not safe, it's not really from God. This has to be there, this protection of those in the community. And this is something we are working on here in a greater way, that this church will be a safe place for you in every sense of that word. The church should be. That is the goal that Jesus prays for, and he prays for it because it doesn't happen very often. It doesn't happen naturally. It doesn't happen. It actually happens the opposite way. When people gain power in community, and the more connected they are, the more prone they are to abuse. This is what we call cults and all sorts of other syndromes, where people get used to this exploitation and accept it on a really deep level and are hurt so badly by it. This is why there has to be this protection in the community, in the relationship. And here we have the one and the many, that God is three persons in Trinity, and you should never negate your personhood, that you are a person, a face, a persona. You are a real, living, unique being on this earth. And this uniqueness should never get negated by the other or by the many. And yet we are the many. We are one, both the one and the many in the Trinity of God. We are also part of a community that our unique gifts contribute to and sustain and strengthen. And this relationship between the one and the many, economically, we call it between, you know, rugged rogue capitalism and libertarianism and communism, where everything is shared. Politically, we know both of those things are not really good for people. You know, out and out, complete obliteration of the self and any kind of ownership or personal possessions, or the rigid individualism and hyper-individualism, where it's every man for himself, and it's usually the men running it, and take as much as you can from everyone else. And those, both of those are harmful to people. The one and the many must be maintained. The Trinity of God that is here on earth in our relationships must be there. And that's what Jesus is praying for you. And then he prays that your joy will be complete, or your joy will be fulfilled. This is the joy of God. The joy that is complete and is fulfilled, that is your true self, that your joy will be complete in yourself. This is your true self, not the self that has been put on you by others, not the expectations of the world, not the the things that the world says will make you happy and successful. This is, in fact, the joy of God that springs up in you from that deep well of love in the universe that God holds and pours into us. And out of us comes this deep love that goes to places that no one will expect. The joy of God bringing light and life, not giddiness, not happiness, although those things are wonderful. It's great to laugh. It's great to have fun. But the joy that is complete in yourself is deep and abiding and doesn't just go and come with the seasons of life. It is there. It is always there. And it gets you through the most difficult times because it comes from the only source of love in the universe, and that is God. And that love looks like Jesus. And Jesus is praying that for you. And lastly, that you'll be protected from the evil one. He says that I won't pray for you that you'll be taken out of the world. And by world, we don't mean like you're not supposed to have a library card or something. What he means is that the world as a system is exploitative. The world as a system has biological urges that will force you to do things that harm others and yourself. The world that we live in has a quest and lust for power that if you follow that, you will end up hurting yourself and others. The world, as we are talking about it, is that inner circle of belonging that is offered through fraudulent means and gained by hurting and exploiting yourself and others. And we humans will do that. We are the lemmings that will go off the cliff. We will sacrifice ourself for some really terrible causes on this earth. And the world will always demand those things from us. And we resist that, but we resist it not by getting transported out of it. Jesus says, I will not pray that they will leave the world. Jesus is not praying for that, that you will disappear and go into the woods and never be seen again. This is not, we all kind of long for that retreat or escape from the rat race of life, but Jesus says that is not what he's praying for you, but that you will be able to be protected from the evil one, the one that seeks to destroy and kill and exploit. When we look at the world's problems, all we see is death. And the devil is happy when people are dying. The devil rejoices when there is destruction and death and the bombs rip the bodies apart and all those other atrocities and terrible things of war and conflict, both on a small, not for the people involved, domestic scale and on a large global scale between nations and movements and states. All of these conflicts, whether it's an assault on a street corner of a robbery or of a convenience store or a World War II or III or IV. Whatever it is the evil one who brings this about and wants us to die and wants everybody to die. And when you hear those voices and noises and impulses and those feelings that the world would be better off without you and it'd be better if you were to die, and maybe you should take matters into your own hands and end it now. That is the evil one. And Jesus is praying that you'll be protected from that evil one, the one that wants you gone. That is who Jesus is praying to protect you from. Jesus is praying for you. The accuser of the brethren, the devil, will come and tell you that you're no good, tell you that you've failed too many times, tell you that it's over, tell you that you have no life outside of these trappings of success that have been offered and dangled and then pulled away. No, Jesus is praying for you that you'll be protected from that because you don't belong to this world, just as Jesus did not belong to this world. He was looking for a better country whose builder and maker was God. That reabsorption into the Holy Trinity that he longed for and experienced in his ascension can happen to us too. We are brought into that. We are taken back to the Garden of Eden where we walk and talk and experience the love of that Holy Trinity in a beautiful setting. That is our destiny. It is not this world, the way we see it around us. Red in tooth and claw, full of weapons and war and destruction and internal diseases of the soul and body and mind. It is not this world. It is a better world. It is the Garden of Eden times 1 million. It is everything you've ever longed for in love and in God. And that world awaits us. And we are not part of this one in that same way. We do our work. We get involved in things. We care for people. We want to bring the kingdom of God here as Jesus taught us to pray. And we do that knowing all the time that the world that Jesus is creating here is a world that he's never been part of. He is recreating this world. And that is what is happening in us too. That is what Jesus is praying for you about, that you'll be able to do that as well. Amen. O God, the King of glory, you have exalted your only Son, Jesus Christ, with great triumph to your heavenly kingdom. Do not leave us comfortless, but send us your Holy Spirit to strengthen us and exalt us to that place where our Savior Christ has gone before, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, in glory everlasting. Amen.